B-Pod Studios.
That. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes the run, and it's thrown right by everyone. It's going to be a stolen base of home. How about that?
You never see that.
Wow.
I mean, this is, like, shocking. Yeah, he just took off probably because of the windup. He had him timed with that windup, and he just went for it. A gutsy move.
There are two things here, you know. Look where Devers is playing. Okay, he's got the left-handed hitter at the plate. Look at the location where Devers is. He's not even close. So the runner at third base can see that. He can get the extra lead, plus he's got Sale going out of the windup. I mean, it's almost like they're giving it to you.
Yeah.
Take it.
The problem is the windup. You can't really go on the windup.
No,
you just can't.
Look at Devers. Devers is standing there, not even, you know, making a step to make him go back.
And he kind of hurried up to throw at Sale. He saw him take off, and he just
it was just rush. It was like panic time.
Totally.
Something you almost never see in baseball. A steal of home.
It's embarrassing.
Would you agree with that word that Jerry Remy used, embarrassing?
Totally right. Humiliating is what it is. Humiliating. I'd go so far as to say downright emasculating. Like, that is the ultimate kick the dirt in your face kind of move. You know, you're running like wild on the team to begin with. They're down as it is because they're, you know, 3-8 to start the season. And so what do? Their ace is on the mound. He turns his back on the day they get their championship rings and raise the banner, and you steal home. And they don't even really compete on the play on top of it. I mean, use any adjective you want. Emasculating, really. Sale was pissed after that, and he should be. They get humiliated on that play.
Ken, does that say it all about this team so far this year?
To me, that's the signature moment so far. Because Toronto sucks. That's a bad team on top of it. Throw that out there, too. Again, all those elements, you come home against that team, a bad Blue Jays team, and you allow a steal a home with your ace on the mound, and you don't even compete on the play because you have your heads jammed so far up there, you can't see the light of day. You can't smell the coastline, for crying out loud. That was bad.
Okay, giveaways coming up this segment, so stay tuned for that, Maz. That play and the way they've played, I thought you had an interesting point today about how they're not responding.
Okay, so
something that highlights that.
Yeah, so look, at the beginning of the year here, you know, you're coming off a championship season, you break from spring training, and opening day is supposed to be a new beginning. You reset. They lost 12-4. 12-4. So they have a bad series in Seattle. Okay, we move to Oakland. You know what we're going to do? We're going to start over again. We're going to reset. It's the beauty of baseball, one of the beauties of it. Every 3 days, you reset, you start over. They get to Oakland. They lost game 1-7-0. So fine, now you'll have a bad series in Oakland. Let's go to Arizona. Let's reset again. Let's give it another shot. Start anew. 15-8. Eduardo Rodriguez had to finish that game on the mound. You give up 15. Then you come home. Now you've put behind you the West Coast, the time difference, the road. You get to put behind you 2018 by raising the banner and getting your rings. And you get to actually go out and play a game for 2019 again. And you lose 7-5. They've given up 41 runs in the series openers. 41. And every one of those, to me, every series opener is a chance to reset, reclaim your season. Right? It's a fresh start. Every series opener, they are not responding. They have no heartbeat, no pulse. There's no response. If that doesn't change, the season's going to be over by May 1.
And for some reason, and this is now the danger, that you're going into lost season territory. I know that sounds silly with 150 games to go. 150 games to go, and you're looking at a lost season. I'm not saying you're there yet, but when you look at the numbers and how these fast starts translate or slow starts translate, there's some scary data out there. And everyone's had their own sort of numbers. But, you know, here's one from Peter Abraham in the Globe. Since 94, the start of baseball's wild card era, since they went to the wild card format in 1994, only 3 of the 57 teams that started 3-9 or worse went on to make the playoffs. And the last came in 2007 with the Phillies. That's 12 going on 13 years ago. seasons ago anyway. Only 3 of 57 who started 3-9 or worse went on to make the playoffs.
It's a little over 5%, 1 out of 19.
So it makes no mathematical sense that you'd have so much of the season in front of you, and those starts would so preclude you from going to the postseason, but that's the way it works out. That's the way it works out. And let me give you further evidence. I did it, my own little sample here. I drew the line at 20 games to start the season, just a round number. I just picked 20 games. Okay, the last four World Series champions, here's what their records were after 20 games. Last year, 2018, World Series champion Boston, 17-3. The year before, Houston won it. They started out 14-6. The year before, the Cubs won it. They started out 15-5. The year before, the Royals won it. They started out 14-6. So the last four got off to really good starts, and it translated. And if you just want to keep going backwards, over the first 20 games, World Series champions, 2014, the Giants, 11-9. In 2013, when you won it, Boston went 13-7. In 2012, the Giants went 10-10, but they were 500. 2011, St. Louis won it, 11-9. They started out. 2010, the Giants won it, they were 12-8. In 09, when the Yankees won it, they were 10-10. Year before, 08, Philly won it, they were 10-10. 2007, when you won it, the Red Sox won it, you were 13-7. In 06, St. Louis was 13-7. In 05, the White Sox were 16-4. In 04, the Red Sox were 14-6. Bah, I keep going. I've just gone back now. Well, here it is, 2003. The last time a team started up below 500 over the first 20 games, Florida was 9-11. So you've got to go back 16 years now. So it just translates. They're digging a hole, and it means something.
Yeah, look, I said this last night on the Baseball Reporter, so forgive me for repeating it, but it's Masters Week. You can't win a golf tournament on the first day, but you can lose it. And same as baseball in April. You can't necessarily win it in April, but you can blow it then.
Meanwhile, Chris Sale, concern level.
Yes, it's getting up there. Every time he goes out there, I feel a little bit worse. So there was a little more velocity yesterday, which is good, but 0-3, 9.00 ERA. And he's all over the place. And my concern, there were two. One is that this whole idea of, let's back him off and have him pitch at something less than 100% and see how he does. I'm not sure Sale can do that. I'm not sure he's wired that way. You listen to him post-game, and he's very accountable, very direct, very blunt. I'm not afraid. I don't have any quit in me. I'm going to keep competing. That's what he says. That's a guy that's going to go out there and back off his fastball? The guy who's that aggressive, has that mentality of accountability, that's a guy who wants to pitch at 91 miles an hour. Like, I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe he wants to pitch that way. Secondly, and I'm talking about him, his psyche now, I don't think he believes in it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I'm starting to worry that, I wouldn't say he's injured, but what if his ceiling has come down a little? What if as a result of last year, and all the pitches and everything else, what if he's now a guy that tops out at 95, 96 instead of 98, 99?
Well, Sale keeps saying he's fine. Again, here's him yesterday.
Feels fine. Just right now, just trying to find it. Just grinding. Obviously, I mean, you guys are watching. I'm struggling. I don't know if I've ever pitched like this in my life. So, tough spot to be in. But, I got guys in here fighting and I got to keep fighting. I mean, there's no giving up. When something's not working, you got to go to something else. When that's not working, you go to something else. And trying to find something. I'm working. I know that only goes so far. This isn't, the hard work league. This is a do-good league. So you got to start going out there and performing.
You think he's fine physically?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think there's, shoulder damage or anything of the like. I think, though, I do worry about the cumulative effect over time of maybe he's lost a little. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. But I have a hard time believing that the Red Sox, after having the guy in the operation for 2 years, would then commit $145 million to him just out of the goodness of their heart. And then knowing that he had a bum shoulder. I can't imagine that's the case.
Okay, again, to your phones on everything, there's your Red Sox reset. Meanwhile, caller 10 to the contest line, the Pride Motor Group contest line, which is 617-931-0985, will score a $100 gift card for the Under Armour Brand House at the Pru to get your last-minute running or watching gear. Spend Marathon Monday with UA and watch the race from their viewing bays near the finish line. How about that? But the $100 gift card is yours at the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. Good luck with that. Your call's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pitch number 74.
Boy, he threw that ball hard.
95, probably the hottest fastball of the day. One of maybe two that were at 95.
That's an upset fastball is what that is.
32 pitches in the inning. Not out of it yet, 3-2.
This isn't the same Chris Sale. It just isn't. We very seldom see him pitch like this.
That's a puzzle.
Velocity or not, I mean, not the same guy.
He wasn't able to put hitters away. Velocity was, 91, 92, showed some flashes of 94, 95 at the end. But as far as like, the off-speed slider, literally inconsistent, you know, he made some good ones down and into righties, and then he left it in the zone. The changeup wasn't great. They did a good job for a team that has been striking out a lot. They did a good job with two strikes, putting the ball in play. That little hit and run play they put on with men at first and second. Golfing's go the other way, so he didn't have too many swings and misses, and we paid the price.
Yeah, we got to win that game. This is very easy to just throw on top of the pile and say we're not playing good. This wasn't us not playing. This was me sucking today. That's frustrating because today was the day we were going to turn it around. You know, we're back home, ceremony, in front of our home fans, playing our first home game. Everyone did what they had to do except for me, and that's a frustrating spot to be in.
Well, that's more on Chris Sale. Back to your phones, as promised. Jake in Andover on the Patriots in the draft. Go ahead, Jake.
All righty. So it kind of hurts to say it, but I actually agree with you on Demaryius Thomas. Basically, again, he's just a shell. If it was Thomas 5 years ago, makes sense. But one guy that I really, really like, I think that Bill can spot talent in the draft because we need a big end zone target with Gronk gone, and nobody else in the wide receiving core has that end zone ability, is a guy by the name of Hakeem Butler. He's an Iowa State guy. He's basically, they call him Megatron 2.0. He's been training. But no, I know that's an overstatement, obviously. Calvin is a freak of nature. But
where is he supposed to go, Jake? Is he going to be available at 32?
I think 32. They said because the guy DK Metcalf and one of his teammates are supposed to be the top prospects in the first round. So if we can get him somewhere in the second, I think that we can land him somehow.
Okay, this guy's Megatron. How's he waiting? How's he lasting to the second round?
No, that's what they call him, Megatron 2.0.
You familiar with Megatron 2.0, Murray?
I am not. In fact, I just Googled Megatron 2.0 wide receiver. I even added the two extra words, and I got nothing here.
I'll tell you, I love these calls.
Terrell Pryor already being compared
this is
to
why,
this is ridiculous.
This is why we chuck markers at the draft, which comes in 2 weeks, by the way, folks. 2 weeks.
Iowa State.
2 weeks we'll be chucking markers at a magazine because you're just as likely to come up with who they're going to draft by chucking markers at a magazine as you are doing what you do, which is actually looking into it and trying to investigate it and research it.
Yeah, they call him Megatron 2.0.
I'd be fine with a receiver at 32. I'm okay. Whatever helps the future, I'm for.
I don't want them taking a receiver in the first round.
I do. Anything but a quarterback.
No, given their history at receivers in
they've
the first round.
They've never done it.
Their history at receivers is what I said.
Period.
Given their history at receivers, I don't want them trying it in the first round.
I don't know if they've ever really tried for big talent. I think they've always tried for the second tier guy.
No. Get me a defensive lineman. I'm okay with that.
Tom and Quincy, how are you enjoying the Red Sox?
I'm going to lose my mind. But I was at that game yesterday, which was a absolute embarrassment, but I called you the other day and I had said how people were calling in saying the Sox, they were inconsistent, and I said that no, they've sucked pretty much since opening day and blah blah blah. Honestly, the only thing that's aggravating me more than their play is the fans' excuses for them. So let me ask you this question. You're starting 3-9. you suck at hitting, pitching, base running, fielding, keeping guys on. You know, you can't throw people out. They're running on you. Like, at what point are we like, can we not suck in every aspect of the game?
Excellent as always.
He's pretty much got it. But, no, he does. He's got it nailed.
But give me the facts to back that up.
Okay, so again, I'm just going to write down the line for you. I looked all this up this morning.
Major league ranks.
Yes, major league ranks. And the Red Sox last year had the best offense in baseball. Right now, 21st in OPS. 13th in runs, which is middle of the pack. For them, huge disappointment. 17th in home runs. 19th in batting average. Pitching, 28th overall in ERA. 28th. Their starters are 30th. Their relievers are 10th. And that includes, you know, Brian Johnson and...
Nunez.
Yeah, absolutely. So 10th, not that bad. But again, overall, not as good as people think it is. As a staff, in whip, 25th. Home runs allowed, second most. Stolen bases allowed, second most. Second most in stolen bases allowed. So again, so far we've determined the offense sucks and the pitching sucks. Let's go to the defense. Errors. They're 24th, which, and I did that from fewest errors to most. So they've made them among the most errors in the big leagues. 24th in fielding percentage. It's an old metric, I know, but nonetheless, I went with it. Pass balls, tied for last. Again, meaning most. Tied for the most pass balls, and I went to FanGraphs to look for modern metric on defense, so not something as antiquated as fielding percentage, and they ranked 27th. Suck. To borrow a phrase. That is, suck. Seven suck bag teams. Like, and that really, they've sucked at everything. They have sucked at everything, pretty much. You could say maybe the bullpen's been a little bit better, but they didn't do the job yesterday. Not really. Let in those last couple of runs. So again, you know, to me, there isn't an area here that's been good. As we like to say in this program, suck. Just wanted to make that clear. I mean, what do you want me to do? You want me to sugarcoat it? Like, so Tom and Quincy, the people wanted to defend this early on. Now it's only five games. Oh, it's only six games. Now it's 12. Now you're almost halfway through the first month and you're running uphill. So I'm just telling you, it's a long season. It's a very long season if you have to run uphill the whole way. Last year, they were running downhill the whole time. It's much easier that way.
Suck. Back your phones. Anthony in Medford. Hi, Anthony on the Pats.
Mike, I disagree. If we're going to get a quarterback, I mean, I don't think Bill's the great quarterback whisperer. I mean, he's had Brady his whole career. If you're going to draft him in the fourth to sixth rounds. You like height, right, Mike? And Mike,
I do.
Got the guy Tyree Jackson, 6'6".
Oh, the
250 from the, Buffalo,
the
right?
The kid from Buffalo. Oh my God, he's unbelievable.
Oh, I love that guy.
All right, I got another one, a Paisan from Maz. Jacob DeGola, Central Connecticut State, 6'6", 6'5", 235.
Is this a quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, if he played in Connecticut, I don't want him.
Right, I don't want Central Connecticut quarterback. Eastern Illinois is about as low as I'm willing to go.
Who is that defensive back they had from Connecticut? Darius Butler.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he sucked. Like, I don't want anybody that played in Connecticut. Sorry, it's just no. Well, you're not good.
And I don't want any tall stiff. I want smarts, quick release, and then if you got size, good. Yo, Garoppolo was a little on the schlort side for me. I don't want guys throwing through guys. I want guys who can go to the line, see the defense, see over the defensive line, throw a slant if you have to throw a slant, but who's just quick and accurate and smart. That's what I want my quarterback. I don't need a gunslinger. I don't need someone running all over the place. I mean, Rodgers does all these things, and he's brilliant, but I don't need that. I need someone who's smart and gets rid of the ball and is accurate, period.
I mean, getting rid of the ball and the accuracy, those are huge. And because I'll tell you what, I'm not the heightest that you are. So, like, and I'm not telling you it's a zero factor, but, you know, there were some guys in the league now, Breeze, Russell Wilson, you know, that are, and even Garoppolo. Little on the smaller side that can play the position.
Rocco and Saugus on the Lakers situation. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, listen, I want to talk about Magic and kind of defend him a little bit. I think it's a smart play. Honestly, like,
to leave? Because, like, he said in an interview yesterday that, you know, he can go up and imagine go watch a playoff game. I bet you $1 million this guy's going to go watch all the free agent playoff games and try to be Magic, because he in the first time in a long time, he got schooled, you know, in the business of being a president of the Lakers. He didn't read, you know, the little fine print that you can't tamper, you can't do this, and he got fined for everything. So he realized he realized that he was in a no-win situation, so he's like, I'm more good to the Lakers just being Magic than being Magic of the president.
Okay, so I don't think he's doing it for the Lakers. He's doing it for himself. He realized he couldn't be Magic because there's things like tampering. Fine print, like that's not a fine print issue. You're not allowed to talk to, recruit, coach, cavort with players on other teams. That's not a fine print thing.
That's as basic as it gets.
That's a large print thing. That's the number one thing on a lot of these, you know. That's a major thing, not a small thing. And he couldn't wrap his head around it.
No, he's too busy being Magic. Like, you know, because he looks at it as,
he just wants to schmooze everybody.
Totally.
Like, yeah. You're not allowed to do that, Irvin.
No, he wants to tweet Russell Westbrook when he goes 20-20-20. Like, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I want to tweet him, but I guess that's tampering. Yep, it is. Because people are looking at you trying to lure the player to your market. That's tampering's not allowed.
He never got it. So that's one of the things on the table. We had Ty Anderson on earlier to talk some Bruins. He gave me some real insight. He actually gave me a few whoppers. Now, Ty Anderson's going to join me on the off-air show. We're doing that tonight. Off-air show. Felger Maz off-air show. 6 p.m. sharp tonight on Facebook Live. Join us for that, where Ty is going to swear like a dirty, drunken sailor. Okay, but he's also going to give you some good Bruins insight, and we'll go off the grid, talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's that. But Ty was on earlier and actually had some interesting stuff on the Bruins.
We'll get to
that with your calls on whatever you want after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If they lose, Ty, how do they lose? If the Bruins lose, how does it happen?
Because their goaltending digs them too deep a hole and they can't get out of it.
I can't believe you said that.
Attaboy.
This is a member of the Boohoo Tuca crew. Really? You believe that's how it happens?
Well, okay, so if Rask has a bad night, and they stick with him, and he doesn't snap out of it in game two. Now you're 0-2 going up to Toronto, and now you say, okay, now it's Halak. You give Halak zero room for error there. The team has no room for error, and I think that's too big of a hole.
When I ask you about the series, your biggest concern is Tuca.
Yeah, because I can't deny the facts are staring me in the face. He's been one of the worst goaltenders in the NHL for a month and a half now. Like, he hasn't been good since March. Since March 1st, he has an .881 save percentage.
Hold on, I'm going to write this stuff down. I'm going to need this stuff.
Wow, that blows.
Since March 1st, an .881 save percentage.
The only guy worse, Jonathan Quick, has an .872.
Okay.
Talk about how that guy's fallen off the face of the earth.
I spat out my coffee. I wasn't even drinking any there. Portnoy. Second worst save percentage in all of hockey since March 1st. I didn't realize it was that bad. I knew he sort of, you know, as it tends to happen with him, he sort of limped to the finish line a little bit. And the team did too. You know, it's not like the team was great guns, but second worst save percentage in the league since March 1st.
Scary.
A little scary.
It is scary. And so again, look, you know, it's a cliche, but in the case of the Bruins, I think it's right. There are a couple of things that could take them down. It starts with the goalie. That's number one on the list. You know, now the good news is they have Halak there. So, and the way Ty put it too, I thought was a good way to put it. Like, if you go to Halak down 2-0 going to Toronto, you've already missed the window. Like, that's too late. Like, you've got to do it before then. If there's any doubt, you have to do it really, you know, no later than the beginning of game two.
I just find, you know, Ty's someone who's been very supportive of Rask. He's in that Rask camp, if you will. And so for, you know, even him to say that, it's a nice little bit of objectivity there. I appreciate it. I goaltending is always number one. So that's to say that Rask is your biggest concern, I think that's sort of rote. He's better than Frederik Andersen. And so if you're given the check marks in the series, you should get the check mark. It's just, it hasn't just come to fruition the last two times you played the Leafs. You know, Rask was just as bad as Reimer. He was just as bad as Anderson last year, and the goaltending was sort of a wash in this series. So hopefully this is just a year. This is Rask's time to, you know, to have his day, right? And it's his time, and he'll play well in the, you know, and he'll play to his capabilities. You'll get better goaltending. You're certainly better defensively than that Toronto team. You're more complete in all three zones, and that'll come through, and you'll establish yourself as a better team, and that's how you'll win. And it's just, you know, that's what I'm expecting, frankly. That's what I'm expecting. But, you know, I didn't realize Rask had played that poorly down the stretch. So keep that in mind. There was one other point that he made about the second line. So outside of goaltending, what would be the second concern with the Bruins?
I would say that second line. Is that going to be a revolving door? You're going to find somebody there. Right now, it's Carson Kuhlman to begin the series. Does that finish the series? You know, I think Cassie, he's very quick to throw his lines in a blender. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you're going to have to put somebody who is either not ready, in the case of Kuhlman there, or you're going to have a left shot playing on the right side, which Cassie doesn't seem to necessarily love. You know, he's talked about Heinen being better on the left side, Johansson better on the left side. So who goes there? If
doesn't he have Heinen on the right side on the third line, though, now?
He does, which I thought was a little strange. I looked at that and I said, well, that was weird, because not even a week ago he said that he thinks he's better on the left. So what does that mean now? So how long does that line stay together? I look at these middle two lines and I say, this can be really good or really bad and lead you to sort of rely on that Bergeron line to carry you again. And they can do that. But I just worry about if they can do that over the course of a 7-game series.
Okay. He also, you know, the whole thing about stacking that Bergeron line, I find fascinating. It never occurred to me, but it makes so much sense. The Bruins with Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron on that one line, the perfection line, i.e. the erection line, it makes sense against Toronto because they don't have shutdown personnel.
Right. Toronto can't handle them.
They don't have a shutdown D pairing. They don't even have, you know, never mind two good defensive defensemen. They barely have one. If Muzzin's that guy, or, you know, they don't really have defensive stalwarts there. And the Kadri line can kind of be a checking line, but so, like, Toronto does not have the personnel to shut down a line. Tampa does with those deep pairs and the way that they roll. Tampa does in the way that they check. Toronto doesn't. So you might as well load up because Toronto has no answer for it.
Correct.
That's I get
last
it.
Year they had 30 points in the 7 games.
So I get it. If they have no answer, you load that up. That makes sense to me now. Now I get it. Second round, if it's against Tampa, and Ty Anderson said it, he bets if you get to the second round against Tampa, Krejci gets Pastrnak, because there you need depth, because Tampa has guys. They can put Strawman and McDonough. Like, those are more shutdown guys. You can shut. And so you have to spread out the wealth there a little bit against Tampa, and that's when you do it in the regular season. Pastrnak did play with Krejci against Tampa.
So I'll tell you what, this is actually one of the things I like about Cassidy as a coach, is that he'll do it matchup to matchup. And so think about what he's done with the decisions he's made so far. He knows Toronto's fast. He talked about their speed. So who's sitting? Backus, you're out. And on D, they had a difference between Kuhlman and Kampfer and Clifton.
Connor Clifton.
Right. They had a decision between those two.
It looks like Clifton, right?
Right. It looks like it's going to be Clifton now, and Cassidy's praising his foot speed. So, like, you know, I at least feel like the decisions are consistent, that he looks at them all and he says, no, they're matchup-based, they're speed-based, whether it's at, you know, the third D pairing or the third line right wing, whatever it is, or the fourth line right wing, the whole thing. Like, it's all about the speed with Toronto, and he doesn't think they can handle their first line.
Okay, so,
you know, that's a big question, too, for Babcock. Like, last year, you got smoked by that line. Like, if you don't do anything to stop him now, you suck.
Do you have an answer? Well, I don't know if he has the personnel. But either way, it all starts tomorrow night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins in the playoffs. Great time of year. Great night in the league, by the way. And the NBC Sports Network, I got to tell you, I think they do a great job with these playoffs. Every game is on, and they spread it out over the USA Network. They used to put them on CNBC. I don't know if they do it now, but every game's televised. Tonight, there's 5 games. It's on USA, NBC Sports Network, NHL Network, USA again has a second game. So there's like double headers on USA and NBC Sports Network. The NHL Network's getting a game. So there's the first round often in hockey is the best. It's just the opposite of basketball. The first round can be the best. They televise them all. It's a great package there on TV. Bruins start tomorrow here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you want post-game coverage, Felger and Amonte are back. Me and Tony are doing it on NBC Sports Boston, so you can flip over and catch unvarnished Bruins post-game coverage there with me and Tony. on the NBC Sports Network. So NBC Sports Boston. So there's the plug. We'll whip through these calls here to end the show. Tom in New Hampshire. I'm sorry, Michael in Nashua on the receiver situation. Go.
So I actually want to talk about quarterbacks.
Just do it quickly.
I'm a Giants fan, but it works for the Patriots. It's this Rosen kid from St. Louis.
Okay, from Arizona. They moved to Arizona about, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. Josh Rosen. Fine. I'm not going to be picky. Josh Rosen, kid from West Virginia, the kid from Duke. The guy from Buffalo feels a little raw. He's fun to watch on the YouTube clips. He feels a little raw. I don't want someone from Central Connecticut. I'm not going to be picky. Bill can pick him. Just start picking him and start bringing him in and start grooming him. Nothing's more important than that. Tom in New Hampshire on Demaryius Thomas. Hi, Tom. Okay, he's not ready to go.
Oh, boy.
Mike and Woburn, what do you got today?
Mike, you sound so dejected. What's wrong?
You exhaust me, but go ahead.
Just to give you a little positive spin on going down 0-2, the last time the Bruins went down 0-2 at home,
they won it all.
The greatest adjustment in history of maybe Boston sports, taking Seidenberg away from Caberle, putting him with Chara, and the rest was history, because that was the impetus. Those two disastrous games where Seidenberg and Caberle were together. Seidenberg at 8 minutes with Chara. Caberle was put on the witness protection program, and they hoisted a cup. The Lakers. I know you like to tweak everybody by saying the Lakers are going to get everybody, but David Stern doesn't work for the league anymore. Huh. He can't tweak the rules so the Magic can't match the offer that the Lakers gave to Shaq. You know that? The only 2 years that a player coming up for their first contract could be retained by their team by matching them were the years that Shaq was a free agent. Did you know that?
Yes. Well, no, I did not know that, Mike. But do you know that two of the best five players in the league currently right now want to be in Los Angeles?
That's fine, Mike. If they want to be in Los Angeles, that's fine. At least they don't have like machinations behind the scene. You want to talk about Magic not being able to be Magic? You know, why do you think he can't be Magic right now? Because LeBron is trying to give him the Jim Caldwell treatment, sticking his hand right up the back of the puppet, trying to tell him what to say, and he can't. He's getting so much crap about collusion right now because he's got a player that's actually doing collusion, and the rest of the league is going to hold their feet to the fire. If it was just Magic there, they'd never have Magic being Magic wouldn't be a problem. It's LeBron being LeBron that isn't allowing Magic to be Magic.
Okay, maybe yes, maybe no, and maybe there's another reason behind Magic's thing. Was the thing you told me off the air reported, Maz? Can you say this?
I mean, it's on Bleacher Report. It says, and the headline on it is Magic denies work misconduct. Johnson denies stepping down because of yet to be released ESPN story on his workplace misconduct. And that is from a Bleacher Report has it, but it's originally from the LA Times.
Would that surprise anyone?
No.
No.
I mean, and not that I'm, you know, like he's some sort of dirtball or something. I mean, maybe he is. It's not what I'm saying.
No, but we're in that climate.
That yesterday was all a bunch of nonsense, that he was getting out ahead of it because there was something else behind the scenes.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, how could you rule that out with anyone?
Yeah, I know. I don't rule that out at all. And I also think in that team this year, there was a lot going on. I mean, again, whether it was Magic and the GM, Magic and LeBron, the GM and Buss, the GM and the coach, Magic and the coach, whatever. Like all these machinations, that team's a mess.
Sean and Everett on the Bees. Hi, Sean.
Hey, so just wanted to kind of go over the matchup real quick. I agree with you on, you know, if we fall down early in the series, I think we're in trouble. I think we got to give Halak, you know, a shot in net if Puka, you know, crap his pants. We definitely got to have a short leash, though. I like that we're throwing Clifton in there. He's definitely a physical guy. And I do like that we're throwing Kuhlman in as well. I don't think Zach has been doing a whole lot. And I think Kuhlman showed some good upside. And I think, you know, the second and third lines, they can kind of mix and match and find something that works.
So Kuhlman over Backes doesn't bother me. I wanted Pastrnak with Krejci. But now that, again, you present that thing to me that Toronto can't stop. They don't have shutdown personnel, so they can't. There's no one to match up against you. So overloaded. If they can't stop it, don't worry about it. You know, I mean,
as long as you don't blow it somewhere else as a result.
Right. So, like, I get it against Toronto. I mean, I've sort of come over against Toronto. To go all the way, I'm sorry. You're not winning a cup with one line. Maybe you can beat Toronto with one line. You're not winning a cup with one line. So I'll stick to that. Eventually, I want to see Pastrnak down with Krejci. I mean, that's what I need it to be.
The last time they won the cup, they didn't win it with one line. I mean, it really did take the group. And, you know, as we're talking about the callers talking about the personnel decisions, whether it be, you know, Kuhlman playing over Backes or Clifton now playing, it seems like, on the third D pair, tell me that ever would happen with Claude Julien.
Oh, my God, please.
So I know I'm, like, teeing you up here.
Please.
But the fact that Cassidy looks at this series and says Connor Clifton's got 20 games in his career. 20. And he's not McAvoy, who is this highly touted super prospect when they brought him along. And Cassidy looks at it and says, no, he's the right fit. He's better than the other guy. Let's roll with it and see what happens. Don't you love that?
Much more Bruins coverage comes your way tomorrow. Felger and Maz will be from the Garden, where the Bruins take on the Leafs in Game 1. So we'll have more of that tomorrow. We'll have more of it on the off-air show at 6 o'clock with myself and Ty Anderson on Facebook Live. Join us for that. The final word is next.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Couple of pieces of sound to get to here as we wrap up the show today. As we know, the Red Sox stink so far this year, 3-9. But how bad is it for the Red Sox right now? So bad that they're getting shut down in Game 1 yesterday by one of the friendliest hosts at NBC Sports Boston.
Apparently in the post-game show last night on Nesson, they were saying the Blue Jays are somehow a bad matchup.
Yeah, I saw something wrong. Let me look at Zoe's tweet. But apparently,
in what way?
Maybe they have some, you know, players we just don't know enough about, and they're better than we're giving them credit for.
I'll tell you what way. They try.
They care. Yeah, I was going to say, they care. Who's the new manager there?
I don't even know who they hired.
He was doing stuff yesterday. I was sort of yelling.
I couldn't even tell you.
I was sort of questioning it when I saw it in real time. But
not Freddie Gonzalez.
They're bunting. Yeah, they're sacrificing guys over. They're hitting and running. They're stealing home. They're, like, doing all these. So they're, like, they're actually trying. That's what I noticed. They were actually trying.
Yeah, according to Zoe, apparently the Nesson post game said it was a tough matchup against a bunch of players we don't know much about.
Oh, please.
Their closer is Ken Giles, who sucks.
The guy who's on NBC Sports Boston at night?
With Holly? That's Tom Giles.
Tom's like, very that's the kind of lineup they're throwing out there. Who the hell are those guys? Please.
Oh, that's good.
A bad matchup because Tommy Giles is closing? Would you stop with this?
Shut down by Tom Giles.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Seriously, he puts a cork in the Red Sox.
And then there's word today the Patriots brought in wide receiver Demaryius Thomas for a workout. No signing yet, but even his mere presence offended Felger. They hosted, let's see here, Demaryius Thomas, the former wide receiver of the Houston Texans.
I like that.
Longtime
I like
Denver Bronco.
He sucks.
Yeah, but they really don't have much in terms of depth there, so I don't mind it. And I'm
as opposed to who? Yeah. Bruce Ellington? Would you rather have Bruce Ellington?
Yep, I would.
Okay, what about Marquise Harris, whatever his name is?
I've already forgot all of their names. And I'd rather have those guys than a guy who I know isn't tough enough.
Than a guy who's actually like 6'3"?
Who doesn't compete?
Okay, I'll take the 6'3".
I won't.
Because they got the Lollipop Guild playing wide receiver.
Give me a little no-name guy with no hamstring, which is this Ellington kid, right? I'd rather have that guy who's going to compete and fight. That's more the Patriots' DNA. Demaryius Thomas. Would you stop with that?
Very good.
Distasteful.
Why are you down on that?
Distasteful.
No, the good news, though, is Bruce Ellington can't pull a hamstring because he doesn't have one.
Baseball reporters, what do we got?
So the off days I always find is a good opportunity to take stock. And so with the Red Sox, it's not that difficult. But I did come across an observation this morning that you already know, but some of our listeners don't. That, to me, is pretty revealing about what this team has been so far. We'll do that and some other numbers about why you should be worried about the Red Sox here in the early part of the year.
No commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz. I'm on the off-air show now on Facebook Live. I'm running in there right this second. Tomorrow we're at the Garden previewing Bruins Leafs starting at 2. We'll talk to everybody then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.